Amen. Good morning, folks. My name is Mosala, one of the leaders in the church. We've been talking about kill joys, the seven things that traditionally in the church have been called seven deadly sins. But we are saying as much as they are deadly sins, they are also kill joys because God wants us to be joyful in Him. And if these things take root in our lives, they kill our joy. And so far, we've spoken about pride, about envy, about greed, and about sloth. And this morning, we'll be talking about gluttony. So when we first thought of this idea of preaching through the seven deadly sins, it kind of slipped my mind that I had written actually six instead of seven deadly sins. And the one that I accidentally omitted was gluttony. A part of it, I think, is because we don't normally think of gluttony as a sin, much less a deadly sin. But also it was terrible for me because if I had remembered this, I would not have put my name against this particular topic to preach on it because of the complexity of speaking about gluttony. And so, my bad, I forgot, and we allocated all the other preachers. And when we discovered we had written six instead of seven, I was the guy to speak on gluttony. So, bear with me this morning and pray for me. Can we turn our Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 3? We'll read from verse 17 to chapter 4, verse 1. It reads as follows. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. Therefore, brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. So, Father, even as we come to your word, we pray for your grace. We pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, illuminate us, that we may be transformed and set our minds and our hearts free, that we would live as citizens of heaven and not citizens of the earth. We call on you for your mercy and grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
So the way we are going to talk about this subject of gluttony is we will give a word of introduction to the subject. And number two, we'll look at what gluttony is. What is it that we are talking about when we talk about the sin of gluttony? And then we'll talk about the dangers of this sin. And we will then conclude by talking about how we may overcome gluttony. It's very interesting that food is one of the very first things that is addressed in the scriptures. To me, it is very, very interesting. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, the Lord says, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food." And if you ask yourself, what is the purpose for food? I think the consistent biblical answer will be that food is there to remind us that we are not self-sufficient, but that we are dependent on something outside of ourselves. So God designed the universe and designed us as human beings to be people who have a cycle of hunger that we need to fulfill, so that he would speak to us and say to us, you do not have underived existence. And this is in stark contrast to God himself. God reveals himself to us as the great I am. And that word I am, the ever-present one, the root meaning of that word is that God is the one who has got life in himself. He does not need anything outside of himself for his sustenance. He says to us, if I was hungry, I wouldn't call you. I wouldn't tell you. A cattle in 1,000 hills belongs to me, God says. God exists all by himself. And John 1 verse 4, Jesus Christ, the scriptures tells us concerning Jesus that in him was life, and the life was the light of man. God has got life in himself, and we don't. We are dependent on him, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. And so we also realize that food is very, very important to us. Without it, our lives will not be sustained. It can heal us. It can sustain us. But we also know from the scriptures that it can kill us. For instance, Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says something to this effect. God says, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So food is one of those good creations of God. God has given us food to enjoy, but also God has given us that rhythm of hunger and being filled so that we would realize that we are dependent on something outside of us, and that something is God. So the second point I want to make is, what then is gluttony? When we say that this is a deadly sin, what is it? Most people will define gluttony as overeating. And so even as I'm speaking now, you're probably looking at your own body and checking. And if you're overweight, you might be feeling a little bit guilty, that perhaps you are guilty of gluttony. And if you are skinny, you might think, oh, well, I'm off the hook. But actually, some people are skinny simply because God has blessed them with an incredible metabolism. So they are eating so much, but there's no evidence to show they are overeating. Does it mean that they get away with it? What is gluttony? And you'll realize that if we reduce gluttony to overeating, then we mask the very dangerous thing about gluttony, which is actually the role that desires play in gluttony. So gluttony is not really about eating too much, but it is really about too much attention to food. C.S. Lewis, in his witty way of speaking about these things, he talks in one of his books, he says there was a lady, and he charges her with gluttony. And he says, but this lady used to go to restaurants, and when she sits in the restaurant, she would be extremely finicky about whatever food is placed before her. If they bring a toast, it will be either toasted too much or too little. And he said, because of her scrupulousness where food is concerned, she was actually a glutton, even though she wasn't eating too much. So gluttony really is about too much attention to food, not necessarily
eating too much, even though it includes that. So the heart of gluttony is really food worship. People actually worshiping food. Genesis chapter 3 verse 6 reads as follows. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. So you realize here that she was directing the appetite for food towards improper ends. She was looking not only for food, in food, but she was actually craving for something much deeper than food. She was craving for pleasure. She was craving for beauty. She was craving for wisdom. She said, this thing is good. This is a delight to the eyes. This is desired to make one wise. You can go to food, and I think in a sense already this morning, even as Kurt was speaking and Julian was speaking, we have already seen that we can go to other things instead of going to God himself. We go to leisure and we can go to food. We can go even to shopping. It's called therapeutic buying, I think it is. And some people, when they are really, really stressed, they go to shopping and they go to food to feel something more than the appetites for food. That is directing their attention and their appetite for food to improper ends. And we will come and look at what our text says about that. So we see that where Eve was concerned, her desire for pleasure, her desire for beauty, and her desire for wisdom was okay. Nothing wrong with that. The problem was that she, instead of looking to God for those things, she directed not only her lips, but her very heart to rebellion against God. So we need to look at food and ask ourselves, what is my relationship with food? What am I actually getting out of food? Am I really feeling the cravings for sustenance, which is necessary and good, and it's a gift of God? Or are we looking for something deeper than food in food? And see, I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, I think it's a beautiful, not C.S. Lewis, it was Augustine, who says, he loves God too little who loves anything and doesn't love that thing for God's sake. He says, you love God too little if you love anything that you don't love for God's sake. If you are, your relationship to food is to the glory of God, then there is nothing wrong with eating. But if you are going to food to replace God, then food becomes an idol. And food becomes a way of your destruction. So what are the dangers of gluttony? We've seen in our text that we just read that it gives us two metaphors from verse 17. Let me read it again. Paul says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. I want to underline that word walk. He's using the metaphor of walking to speak to us about two ways of life, even as we spoke a few weeks ago. And then he says there are two ways of really walking. The one is obviously a good way of walking, and the other way of walking is the wrong way of walking. And if we start to unpack from this verse the right way of walking, he says it is, number one, to walk in such a way that you imitate apostolic example. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. So Paul says, look at
the apostles and how they have walked. And then he says that they need to stand firm. Verse 18. For many, he starts with the negative, and I'll come to the negative just now. But he says, many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as the enemies of the cross. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with mindset on earthly things. But then he says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, of whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord. He speaks about imitating the apostles. And number two, the good way, he says, we need to learn to stand firm in the Lord. But what about the other way, the other walk that is not acceptable in God's sight? He says those ones are the enemies of the cross, number one. Number two, he says they are in danger of eternal destruction. Number three, he says they put food in the place of God. Their God, he says, is their bellies, their stomachs. That is gluttony. Whether that belly or food is a way of talking about all sorts of other desires, or he's specifically talking about food, doesn't really make a difference. The point is that those people are using their appetites are their God. And he tells us that that is not an innocent sin. He says that thing leads to destruction. And he says people like that tend to glory on things that they should be ashamed of, and they set their minds on earthly things. And the second metaphor that we have in our text is the metaphor of citizenship. The first metaphor is of a walk, and he makes a clean distinction. He says the people of God walk in a particular way that is distinct from the people of the world. And he says the people of the world, one of the distinctives about them is that their God is their bellies. And then he says, but you are different. You are citizens of heaven. Why does he use the metaphor of citizenship? I think it's because Philippi, the church that he was writing to, the people of that city were Roman citizens. Almost all of them were Roman citizens, even though they were east of Rome, about 800 miles from Rome. But they were actually Roman citizens. And as Roman citizens, they had incredible privileges that they had that came with citizenship of Rome. And many of them were very, very proud. But the surrounding cities that surrounded, the villages that surrounded Philippi, most of the people there were not citizens of Rome. And because of that, they did not have any privileges. And they were considered as barbarians and uncultured people. And so Paul says to these guys, be careful of what you are proud of. He says, don't be proud of being citizens of Rome with all of its privileges. He says, you are different. You belong to heaven. Walk as the citizens of heaven. Our citizenship, he says, is in heaven. And this metaphor of citizenship is very, very powerful. If you can think of how people in our time, one of the greatest things that is happening, that is defining this time, is migration. People are migrating all over the place, mostly from the south to the north, and from Africa and Asia into the west, into England and Europe in general. And if you ask yourself, why are those people risking? Some of them risk their lives. We've all seen that devastating picture of a young child who was drowned and thrown at the end of the beach. I mean, it was a very, very powerful imagery of what people risk to try and change citizenship, as it were. Why are they moving like that? The reason is they calculate and say, if I am to be a citizen of a different country that I see to be advantageous, it is going to change the destiny of my children forever. Citizenship is important. It doesn't matter what abilities you may have. You can take two people with exactly the same capabilities, put one as a citizen of a third world country and put the other as a citizen of the first world country, their lives will be completely different. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a savior. The dangers of gluttony, number one, is that it puts food in the place of God. It makes our stomachs to be our gods. And when it does that, it makes us enemies of the cross. We have a completely different gospel. And because we have a completely different gospel, our destiny is in jeopardy. We are destined to destruction if you do that. When you do that, you realize that because you have changed the gospel, Jonathan Bauer says, hunger becomes the great enemy. The refrigerator then stands as a temple where we find our deliverance. Because you have a different gospel altogether. That is a scary thing. That is idolatry. When you stuff yourself with food instead of allowing your hunger, that cycle, to remind you of the fact that you are mortal being that is dependent on God. And if you stuff yourself with food like that, it ruins your appetite for fellowship with your Creator. That is what gluttony will do. It will numb your spiritual sensitivities for God. It will make you to forget your very Maker. And it will turn God of the food which God created to remind you of your mortality and of your dependence on God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3 says the following. It says, and he humbled you, talking about God and the people of Israel. It says, God humbled you and let you hunger, and he fed you with manna, that he may make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. It says that's what God did to the people of Israel. He made them hunger so that he would feed them with manna. And the illustration was, man shall not and does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God in heaven. So we need to allow food to have its work in us. And every time you eat food, you need to say to yourself, I am a mortal being. I do not have underived existence. My existence is dependent on things outside of myself. And that thing ultimately is God himself. And when you do that, then food has its intended purpose in your life and in my life. Another danger of food in our lives is that it has social consequences. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? This guy was just glutting himself. And he neglected the poor guy who was outside. And he ended up in hell. Separated. And Lazarus, poor Lazarus, was in the bosom of Abraham. Because when we glut ourselves and we make our stomachs are gods, you are somehow going to neglect the work of justice that God requires from us. And I use the word justice because that's what the Old Testament, that's the word that the Old Testament uses. It is actually a justice issue when you allow people to starve and on the one hand, and you are glutting yourself on the other hand. Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, what is your duty, O man? What does God require of you? It says he requires of us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. So we need to be careful that we do not allow gluttony to rob us of our duty towards our fellow man, which is a justice issue. And also, it opens the way for all sorts of other vices. It's unbelievable just the extent to which people will go when they are driven by gluttony and greed. If you look at people, for instance, who do the heists and those who rob banks and stuff like that, the first thing they will do is they will arm themselves. And when they get new recruits, they will tell the recruits that nobody needs to be hurt. We are taking guns just in case. And all we are looking for is the money. But sooner or later, there are dead bodies all over the place. Your allowing your belly to be your God opens a door to other vices such as murder and destruction of other people. So let us close then with a question of how are we to overcome gluttony? Two things. Number one, we overcome it by remembering that Christ has atoned for our gluttony and he has given us the spirit of self-control. Self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. God has atoned for it. He has died for our sins, including the sin of gluttony. And that is why the apostle says in his encouragement to us, he says, stand firm in the Lord. Recognize that your sins, including this particular sin, has been atoned for. Recognize that God has died in your place, so that you don't have to walk in this way. And then stand firm in that victory that is yours in Christ Jesus. Number two, remember that self-control is freedom and gluttony is bondage. The world wants to put those things, to invert those things. It wants to say that gluttony is freedom. I'm free to eat whatever, whenever. But actually, self-control is true freedom when you are freed by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And then lastly, glut yourself on Jesus. And I don't have to make that point because it's already been made this morning. Let us come to Jesus. When you feel in your heart a desire for pleasure, when you feel in your heart a desire for beauty, when you feel in your heart a desire for wisdom, instead of going to lesser things to feel that desire, come to God. Come to our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to close with John chapter 6. Such a beautiful scripture. It reads as follows from verse 32. Then Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. let's come to Jesus and let's receive him as true bread. When you feel the gnawing of hunger inside of your hearts and you know that it is not just hunger for mere food, it is hunger for something deeper than food, go to Christ. You can never have too much of him. Glut yourself in him and you will be set free. In Jesus' name, amen.